Kyle Malin from the MERS newsletter. Kyle, how are you?
Well, after I found my Zyrtec this morning, I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, you and me both. My eyes are all scratchy and itchy. I got to start getting my allergy medicine going, too. What's new with you?
Well, after the allergy attack last night, I've been doing all right. You know, it's never ending, I think, on the Capitol scene, though. You know, the governor really got the ball rolling so far on the consent agreement and the emergency manager discussions in the city of Detroit earlier this week by putting a consent agreement on the table that the leaders in Detroit kind of see as akin to just making an emergency manager in the city of Detroit, taking power away from the city mayor and the city council and putting it in an advisory council. And you got a pretty wicked backlash on that. And he's going to be actually speaking with reporters later today, trying to clear the air a little bit and settle people down and really lay out kind of the situation in Detroit. And it really sounds like unless there's a consent agreement that's reached by March 26th, there's going to be an emergency manager in Detroit, and that's just the way it's going
to
be.
We are trying to getting the mayor on the program. We're going to have him on sometime next week. What I want to ask, Kyle, what I want to know, and we've gotten a lot of emails about this, is Detroit has had such a challenge fiscally in keeping their house in order, and they're not able to do it on their own, yet they want to set the terms that they get help. It almost seems like they just want to get the money and they want people to leave them alone. And they've proven they can't do this by themselves.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. They've proven they haven't been able to do it by themselves. And you know, it almost raises questions about whether this rancor that you hear out of Detroit is somewhat political in that they want the help, but they want to control the terms of the help. And if they can't control the terms of the help, it's almost like they don't want it. It's like bankruptcy is fine with them. And, you know, there doesn't really seem to be a lot of firm answers coming out of the leaders of Detroit, and that's why Snyder's stepping up and saying, well, since you guys can't seem to figure it out, we're going to have to do it for you. And they really take umbrage at that. You know, there's been a very long history of consternation between the city of Detroit and the rest of Michigan, and some of it I do believe is racial, you know, because the city of Detroit is so heavily African American, and they really feel like the rest of the state is condescending toward them, that they can't figure their own stuff out, and yet the city of Detroit feels like the rest of the state has abandoned them and has kind of left them in kind of economic ruin as big industry is pulled out of there and just kind of left a relic for the residents. And so they really feel like the state owes the city of Detroit money. And that also goes back to an alleged deal that was made that has no real documentation behind it at all. It was a handshake agreement. It really does kind of create a very big animosity between the two. And, you know, you got to kind of wonder if they just don't want an emergency manager just so they can blame the rest of the state for the troubles if things just continue to go awry.
We had Dennis Archer on the program a few months ago, and it's not a black thing. It's more about being fiscally responsible, and he was one of those guys, and since he left, there's been challenges there. So when do you think we'll have resolution on this one way or another?
Yeah, you know, I agree. It's not a racial thing yet. I think that's what people perceive it to be. It is a fiscal and a dollars and cents thing, and I think it really stems to the fact that labor unions have been able to get real nice packages for their employees over the years that the city just can't afford to pay for and hasn't been able to balance. And you know, that's kind of been the problem. There's so many labor unions to negotiate with in the city of Detroit that it's hard to get them all together and to agree to the same things. You know, the police and the fire being the latest challenge, making, you know, they both need to jump. It's just a matter of them jumping at the same time and doing it, you know, with the same length involved. But it has to be done by March 26th. I mean, that's when I think we're really going to see something concrete happen, because the city's supposed to run out of cash around May and or April, and nobody's going to let them go bankrupt because a bankrupt city of Detroit has ripple effects for the rest of the state and everybody else's credit rating. And we're not going to let the fiscal situation in one city impact the rest of the state like that.
In another story on the website of MERSnews.com, energy companies, Greens wrestle for House Democrat support. Nothing like a good fight, tree huggers versus the energy companies. DTE officials yesterday afternoon gave their pitch to House Democrats on why the lawmakers should hold back support for the ballot proposal that raises the amount of energy that must come from wind, solar, and renewable sources by 25% in 2025. Tell us about that story, Kyle.
Yeah, it really is kind of the classic battle between within kind of the Democratic Party, a philosophical battle of advancing a clean energy or environmental policy of saying that we want to get 25% of our energy from renewable sources like wind and solar, against kind of the established energy company and the jobs that they create here in Michigan, the trade unions and so forth who work and could get jobs from the existing energy company. You know, the consumers' energy and DTE here in this state have an enormous amount of clout and power, and you know, they've made that known here in the capital for years. It's like Blue Cross Blue Shield and the beer and wine wholesalers and AT&T and some of the other big lobbying powers. You know, they really kind of get their way a bit here in Lansing just because of the power they possess. They've got huge PACs. They give very generously to Democrats, Republicans, and individual members alike. And so they have a lot of influence. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, it's the old golden rule. Those who have the gold make the rules. And they've been doing, you know, been very fortunate in, you know, that regard. And so you've got that clash. You know, the Democrats just instinctively want to see better environmental policy. They want to see more green energy out there and less coal and fire. But the power companies say, hey, listen, we've already agreed that we're going to do 10% by the year 2015. We don't know if we can do 25% by the year 2025. We don't know if that's even fiscally possible for consumers out there. Is the market going to demand that? Or are we going to stick a mandate on the people out there that they're going to end up really paying for out of their pocketbook that they don't really need? That doesn't make any sense. They'll let the market decide. There's no reason to put a mandate in the state constitution. And so, you know, both entities are going to lawmakers. They want their support to help with the ballot collection effort or to stop the ballot collection effort. And it's a real hard sell going on right now for both sides. Excuse me.
Kyle,
as this is going on.
I've got a minute left. Is former Congressman Joe Schwartz really going to go to the Democratic side and run against Tim Walberg for Walberg's congressional seat?
I don't believe he will in the end. You know, he's courted running for governor. He's flirted with running for governor before. He's flirted with this before becoming a Dem and running for Congress. The only way I think it happens is if the Democrats in Washington, D.C. open up their pocketbook and say, here, we're going to give you this, that, and the other thing. But that's just not how they've worked in the past. If it's a question between getting a first-tier candidate and funding them very well up front or not getting a good candidate at all, they've gone with the latter.
Are we going to have a vote on the pension tax?
No. Well, yeah, the Democrats in the Senate may try and force something like that through an amendment. Yeah, it's very possible. In the Senate, they can get away with it. In the House, they can't get away with it. And so, yeah, they'll try and saddle those Republicans with another bad vote.
All right, Kyle, have a great day.
Hey, you too, Tony. Good talking with you.